Again, so thankful for the prayers, and don't stop now. Continue to pray that the Lord would be with us. And if you want to turn with me, we'll be in Ecclesiastes chapter 3. We'll continue the Lord being our helper this morning, our study in the book of Ecclesiastes. And we get to an interesting chapter. This is probably the most familiar chapter in the book of Ecclesiastes for those who may not be regular Bible readers because of just the subject matter that is referenced in here. And in the 1960s, the subject matter was used as lyrics in a hit song, Turn, Turn, Turn. I think it was the Birds that sang that, and to every season under heaven. And very catchy song, and it's taken from Ecclesiastes chapter 3, which I think that's kind of neat. And but what I hope to do this morning is to go a little bit more in depth than the Birds did back in the 1960s, and look at how this would apply to us as God's people. And if you want to title the message this morning, you can title it God in the Seasons of Life. Solomon starts in verse 1, and we're not going to read the whole chapter, but we'll read several verses down here to get the context. Solomon is now shifting gears and writing to God's people about different seasons that come in life. He says in verse 1, he says, "To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, and a time to mourn and a time to dance." Verse 5 says, "A time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to get and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to cast away, a time to rend and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace." Verse 9, he says, "What profit hath he that worketh in that wherein he laboreth?" Then we'll read verses 10 and 11 where he answers the question that he asks here in verse 9. He says, "I have seen the travail which God hath given to the sons of men to be exercised in it. He hath made everything beautiful in his time. Also he hath set the world in their heart, so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end." What we have here, my friends, is a picture of God in every season of life. As we've read through here, we see, again, this is probably one of the greater known passages in Scripture, especially in the book of Ecclesiastes. And the wise man Solomon now is writing, and basically, to put it in a nutshell, he's saying that to everything there is a season. Again, philosophers have tried to answer the big questions of life, I guess, since the beginning of time. There's been people contemplating why things happen the way that they do. I always wonder back in the garden before the fall, and I believe personally that it was just a short period of time where Adam and Eve were created, that they were they encountered the serpent, and Eve was deceived, and Adam willfully partook of that fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But I always wonder just what did they think about during that time? And I speculate that in an unfallen condition, they didn't worry about anything. But sin and death comes into the world, and then the world starts getting complicated, and people start trying to make sense of the world. And Solomon lays out a line of different seasons of life here that when we read it, I think it applies just about to every instance in life, these different seasons of life. And he says that to everything there is a season. He's showing us here that that in life there's patterns, there's things that are happening here. And let me say this before we dive into this passage of Scripture. We've talked about over and over again how when our lives are not in balance with God, things will not make sense to us, or things will be As Solomon would say over and over again, vanity and vexation of spirit. The different seasons of life, the different experiences of life, apart from a solid understanding and our life being in sync with the will of God, isn't going to make sense to us. The inevitable happenings of life apart from God will oftentimes leave us confused, frustrated, bitter, and in a miserable condition. And I want you to think about that as we go through these things that Solomon has mentioned here. I'm going to tell you, my friends, there are going to be things that happen in our lives that we're not going to be able to wrap our minds around apart from understanding God's truth. There's going to be things that are happening. There's some realities, I think, that's important for us to think about as God's people. And, we're going to look at it here in just a few minutes in light of God's sovereignty, in light of God's power. But when you go through all of the seasons of life, what you figure out real quick is life doesn't always turn out the way that you want it to, does it? You know, we set out in life, and a lot of times in our youth, we have goals of our life. We want to go down this career path, or perhaps we're athletic and we want to pursue this sport. We want to pursue football, or we want to pursue that, and we set our life out to do that and make all the preparations, or we set out to choose what we believe to be our perfect mate, our perfect spouse, and onward we go. But what you realize as you live life is that life does not always turn out the way that we want it to. And if we're being honest with ourselves, probably in every area of our lives, we'll say, everything didn't go the way that I had thought it was going to go. Maybe that's glaring, but maybe you can just point out things. And we understand life doesn't always follow our plans, does it? And I'll say this as well. Sometimes God allows things to happen in our lives that we don't understand. Now, I'm not saying here that God is the author of sin. God is not the cause of sin. But we understand as we read God's word, sometimes he suffers or allows things in our lives that we can't wrap our arms around and make sense of. That happens. We have those times. Why am I going through this trial? Why am I going through this pain? Why am I experiencing this loss? Why now? We have those questions. Well, my friends, sometimes God allows things to happen in our lives that we don't understand. And here's something that we need to understand as well in the midst of all of that. God does not always explain himself to us. God doesn't owe us an explanation. he's given us his word for direction and guidance, but he doesn't owe us any explanation for any decision that he makes. If I make a decision in my job and, if things go great, they may tell me good job or I might just cruise on along. But if I make a decision that my boss or someone above me doesn't like, I owe them an explanation because they are over me. They are the ones that have authority over me. But God owes no one any explanation because he is all authority. And we need to understand that. God does not always explain himself. He doesn't say, well, Michael, this is the reason why I did thus and so. In the book of Job, when you read all through the book of Job and you see all that Job suffered and you see all of the dialogue between Job and his miserable comforters, and we have Job wants an audience with God. He says, if I could just find God, I would fill my mouth with arguments before him. A lot of stuff happens in the book of Job, but never do we see God explaining himself. God doesn't say, well, Job, I did this because thus and so. We end up with Job just not speechless when he is presented with the power of God. He doesn't always explain himself to us. And I tell you, even if he did explain himself to us, I believe that we wouldn't understand the explanation that was given in a lot of things. Here is something we need to remember. We are not ultimately in control of our lives. God is. And I think if we'd understand that practically speaking, you know, I have opinions about how the world should work. I have a lot of ideas about how I should live my life, and all kinds of people do. And, you know, some of my ideas may be good ideas, but there's a lot of ideas that I have are harebrained ideas. And we live in a world today where we have a lot of people with a lot of harebrained ideas that could be solved if we would just remember this: my life is not my own. I am not the one that's ultimately in control. God is. God doesn't have to explain himself. And I'll say this, every season of life that we walk through, God is with us. And the Bible talks about different appointments that we have in life. And I want us to think about that as we go through this. So we go to Ecclesiastes chapter 1. We're not going to hit it verse by verse, or we would be here well into the afternoon. But we're going to hit some high points here. And I want us to see, starting off as we read verses 1 through 8, that God has appointed every season in our lives. He starts out in verse 1 by saying this. He says, to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under heaven. Now, Solomon begins this chapter with a declaration. This really isn't a suggestion here. It's a declaration. He says, to everything there is a season. Now, we see that in the natural sense, in the world around us, just in the actual seasons that we have that come year-round. We have four seasons, and there may be little deviations here and there, but like clockwork, what do you have? You have winter, you have spring, you have summer, and you have fall. There are those that would try to scare us by saying, well, if we don't be careful of how much carbon monoxide we put out, or we do this and we do that, we're going to lose the seasons. No, in the book of Genesis, we're promised seed time and harvest, and that has happened ever since that time. Now, we need to be good stewards of what God has given us, but those seasons have been happening because God set it in place. And I want you to understand there's other seasons of life as well. We go through different seasons in life, and there are patterns that we can see in seasons of life, are there not? You know, I am celebrating the last year of my 40s. Jessica has tried to make me 50 for 3 years now. I'm holding on. I'll be 50 next year. And, you know, there are things now in the final anniversary of my 40s that I feel now that I never felt as a child. I've got to the point now, if I have to get on the floor and do something, I have to find something to help pick myself up, but I feel it the next day. You know, as a child, I could fall down a flight of stairs and it seemed like I would bounce and have no issues at all. That was because I was in a season of childhood. God knew what he was doing when he made little toddlers bounce, I guess. That doesn't happen in middle age. And there's some of you that have taken just simple falls, and it's put you down for months and months. There's different seasons in life, is there not? And in every area of life, he unfolds here, you know, really a series of opposites here as we go in Ecclesiastes chapter 3. He talks about verse 2. You know, think about seasons, a time to be born and a time to die. You know, I'm thankful we hear about our young families that are going to be having babies here soon, and we're thankful for that season. It's a hopeful season. It's a great blessing to parents and to grandparents, but there's also the season when folks die. You know, we've gone through a season here in this church where we have many folks that we love dearly that have left this world and gone to heaven. There's a time to plant, in a time to pluck up that which is planted. Verse 4, he says there's a time to weep and a time to laugh. There's a time to mourn and a time to dance. Verse 8, he says a time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. You think about that just in the global scheme of things. No matter how much we desire it to have world peace and everything be in harmony in this world, it's never happened and it won't while we're here in this world. There will always be wars and rumors of wars. There's going to be those seasons. Now, Solomon doesn't say these things might happen. He says that they will happen. To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under heaven. My friends, I want you to understand those things happen in this world. And, you know, if we try to make sense of those things apart from understanding who God is, understanding God's word, it will take us into depressed places in our lives. It will frustrate us. It will cause us, like, again, I've mentioned over and over, but it's worth mentioning and remembering for us as the Lord's people. Many philosophers have tried to make sense of these things divorced from God, and many have been driven to madness. Many have been driven to substance abuse. Many have been driven to dark places. You will not be able to wrap your arms around all of this and in a healthy way without understanding who God is. Now, what Solomon is teaching us here is that God is in control. God is in charge in the midst of all of these different seasons that we see. That's wonderful to think about. You know, God is on his throne. God, none of these things have caught God by surprise. God is active. God is sovereign. God is the one who is ruling and reigning. He is over all things. And I want you to understand that, because we go through seasons of life as individuals. You know, we go through seasons as families, don't we? You know, I'm at the point with my family now that folks, my parents and my grandparents, who I thought would just be around forever, and they would always be like I remember them as a child. They have suffered the infirmities of age. We buried my grandmother, who was very important in my life, and I've got another grandmother that's still alive, but she's struggling with diminished cognitive faculties, and those things. We have those seasons where, you know, as children at some point, you're going to be the ones that help take care of your parents and your grandparents. We need to understand that there are those seasons, but God is still faithful. We go through seasons as a church. Why? Because people are involved. And, you know, sometimes we're disappointed by folks. Sometimes we're surprised by things. But people are going to people because we have this flesh. But we understand God is in control over all. Notice this. In Daniel chapter 2 and verse 21, Daniel reminds us in the midst of a difficult time in his life who God is. Daniel chapter 2 and verse 21, it says this: "And he changeth the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise, and knowledge to them that know understanding." Daniel is basically saying here that God is in control. I want you to know, whatever season of life that you're in, it makes you encourage, it emboldens you, it helps your feelings to understand whatever is happening right now, God's still in control. You know, everything around me may be spinning out of control based off of the evidence that I have, but Daniel says here, God is the one that changes the times and the seasons. And here Daniel was in captivity during this time. He says God's the one that removes kings and sets up kings. Now, it wasn't a good time to be Daniel during this season. He was captive. He was carried away from his home. He was under the heavy hand of a king who did not know the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And he was surrounded by people that were seeking his demise. You remember, folks hated Daniel because he had found favor with this wicked king. And they tried to have Daniel killed because he was praying. In that, he understands God is still in control. He's the one that removes kings and sets up kings. I want to tell you, in 2025, if you don't like the way things are going now, remember, our God is the one that removes kings and sets up kings. Amen. His power and ability has not been diminished as time has gone on. He is just as powerful as he's always been. God is in control, and he is over all things. In Acts chapter 17, you turn there in verse 26. In the New Testament, the Bible speaks about our God, and it says, "He hath made of one blood all nations," he says, "of men," he says, "for to dwell on all the face of the earth." He's talking about our God being the creator. You are not ultimately in control of yourself, because God is the one that created you. He created our father Adam from the dust of the earth. We wouldn't be here if he had not breathed life into Adam. And he says here, he hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth. Notice this, he hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation. My friends, I want you to understand that nothing has caught God by surprise. You know, we have this thing called time that we live in, and to us, time is linear. To an eternal God, that's not the case. You know, we are limited by time. We measure things by time. I am 49 years old. I've been in existence in this world for 49 years. I may have just a few more decades left in my life. That's how we measure things. Notice, understand that God doesn't operate in the constraints of time. He's eternal. And nothing has caught him by surprise. You know, some people are scared of this, but again, this is the encouragement to us as God's people. Paul says, he hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation. Aren't you thankful that nothing has caught God by surprise? You know, you were born into this world, and God wasn't in heaven saying, wow, I didn't see that coming. You know, other people might have done that, but not God. And the comfort is in the midst of your trials, what you're going through. That hasn't caught God by surprise. I mentioned a couple of weeks ago at another place. It's starting to run together now. But you know, I'm thankful that our God, he understands the difficulties and the trials that we have gone through. He knows the trials that you're going through. You say, well, I don't know how I'm going to make it out of this trial. Well, you might not know how, but God does. He knows our trials. And even this is one that for a lot of people, it causes a lot of consternation. Not only does he know when we were born, he knows when we were formed in our mother's womb, according to what David writes. He knows our trials. He knows our difficulties. You know, he knows the joys that we'll experience in this life, but he even knows the day of your death. Notice what it says in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27. It says, and as it is appointed unto men to die once, but after this, the judgment. And I say all of that to say God knows. In every season of life, God knows. You're going through a health trial. You may not know how it ends. You can go to the best doctors out there, and there are some things that you will run into. You know, there may be an arrogant doctor that says that he knows it all, but there's some things physically that you may run into where the doctor says, we'll do the best we can, but we don't know for sure. You know, they may give you a percentage. What they're saying is, we don't know, but God knows. You may be going through a trial in your family. You may be going through a trial in your life, and you're like, I just don't see the light at the end of the tunnel. God knows. He is a God in every season of life. That's a blessing, isn't it? We struggle with that, don't we? Why is that? Because we want to be in control. Some of us think that we can control other people. I was visiting with somebody the other day, and they were talking about a family member. They were saying, well, I just can't control them. Well, you ain't going to control anybody. You have a hard enough time controlling yourself. But we want control. We want that feeling of control. And I'm thankful that you know, God has blessed us with the abilities and capacities that we can keep the car in the road, metaphorically speaking, in a lot of situations. But when things seem out of control, we need to understand that God, he is in control. And, you know, we want everything to be easy. We want everything to be smooth sailing. We want everything to never be suffering, never to be difficult. Now, I'm reaching in, talking about my age, I'm reaching the age where I really don't like things to change that much anymore. I told somebody the other day, I think I've hit the point where I'm tired of technology. Let's just keep it the same. Don't update my phone. I don't go into Walmart most of the time anymore because every time I go in there, they've moved something around. That's by design, by the way. They want you to look at that other stuff and hope you'll buy it. You know, we get that way, but God says it's not your place to be in control. We need to understand that as God's people. He is the one that we read. Again, he's the one that changeth the times and the seasons. He's the one that removes kings and sets up kings. He's the one that gives wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. He's the one, the creator God, that's made of one blood all nations of men, he says, for to dwell on the face of the earth. He's the one that has determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation. He is in control. Nothing has caught him by surprise. He is on his throne. That's a wonderful blessing to think about. You know, as we were singing the hymns this morning, I said there were a number of those hymns that tied into this. You know, there's a whole section of hymns when you look, I think it's in the top left or top right hand of different subjects of songs in our songbook, and there's a whole section that's dedicated to God's providence and guidance. Well, what Solomon is referring to here when he speaks about God is both God's providence and his guidance. And that's what Daniel was referencing here. That was what Paul was referencing in the book of Acts and in the book of Hebrews. And essentially, God's providence means that he is actively involved in our lives. He is actively involved in every area of our lives. Now, we don't believe that we're puppets. We don't believe that God has predestinated everything that's going to happen. But we do believe in the God of all providence, that he is acting. Either God is acting in the world that we live in, or he's reacting. God has never reacted to anything at all. He acts in our lives. There is nothing that's outside of his hand. Why is that? Because he is the all-powerful, omnipotent God. Isn't that wonderful to think about? God has all power. He is in control of all things. You know, one of my favorite quotes comes from R.C. Sproul. There were things that I disagreed with R.C. Sproul, but he said this. He said, if there was one molecule in the universe that was rogue, God would not be sovereign. He knows every molecule in this world. Not one has gone rogue as far as the power of God, as far as the will of God. And what it means when we talk about the providence of God, the word providence is not in the Bible, but the concept is where God is intervening on the behalf of his people. God is acting on the behalf of his people. We see that, in the Old Testament, in the book of Genesis, as we have the patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, you see God blessing them, God leading them, God providing them, in spite of some of their not so great intentions. I think about Abraham. We hold up Abraham as the example of faith, but Abraham, apart from God, would have gotten in all sorts of messes. Joseph. You know, Joseph talks about the wicked actions of his brothers. They initially wanted to kill him, but they put him in the pit. They ended up selling him and told their father that he was killed. And all the life of Joseph, you see, he goes through these different, again, seasons in life that weren't great, but God blessed him. God blessed him to have favor with those that were over him. And finally, at the end, when Joseph reveals himself to his brothers, he said, you meant this for evil, but God meant it for good. Why is that? Because our God is a God of providence. And I'll tell you, my friends, we may not see that while we're in the thick of things, but we can understand that God knows what we're going through, and he is able to provide. That's a wonderful blessing, isn't it? In difficult times. This has been a hard year. Now, for me personally, this has been one of the most challenging years I've ever had. You know, difficulties, trials, loss, disappointments. But what keeps us going during those times? We understand that God is ultimately in control. And understand this well. God's timing is always perfect. Even when we don't understand. We fast forward to Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 11. I love this. This is a good memory verse that you can put up there on your bathroom mirror this week and commit it to your mind and remind yourself in difficult times. He says this, he hath made everything beautiful in his time. Also, it says, he hath set the world in their heart, so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. This is really one of the deepest verses in all of Scripture. We have some great truths here. The first one comes from the first portion of this verse. It says, God makes everything beautiful in his time. We get impatient, don't we? We live in the age of convenience, and if we have to wait just a couple of minutes for something, we become impatient. You know, some of my kids that shall not be named, they have their devices where they do things on, and they want screen time. And they've got to go through mom and dad to get screen time, or they're just going to give them a blank screen. They'll do a screen time request, and this just speaks of just how impatient people can be. Before the little gremlins that take the button they push from their device to our device, they're in there asking, can we approve their screen time for whatever? Why is that? Because we be impatient. Some of y'all are going to get impatient in the restaurant when you leave here. Some of y'all are impatient with me, hoping that I get done before 12, so you can get to the restaurant before everybody else gets there. You know, that's funny, but it's not funny when we grow impatient with God. You know, God, why aren't you taking care of this problem in my life? Why am I going through this trial? It's been years, God, and I'm still struggling. Why can't you take me out of this trial? Why can't you let this storm pass? Well, God, Solomon says here, he hath made everything beautiful in his time. And here's one thing that we should reconcile ourselves to. There are going to be some trials, some storms, some labors, some efforts in this world that we may never see the end of in this world before we leave this world. But should that trouble us? Because, well, if we leave this world, we ain't going to be worried about whatever that trial is anymore. So the problem's solved. God has answered the trial. God makes everything beautiful in his time, not your time, not my time. His time. Why is that? Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 8, he says this, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. You say, well, what does that mean, Brother Michael? What does that mean for me? That kind of makes me sound dumb. Well, spiritually speaking, we really are. And we ought to rejoice that God's thoughts are not our thoughts. Because I don't have great thoughts about people sometimes. You know, I have good thoughts about y'all because I love you, and you have my well-being and you know my comfort, you know, first and foremost. That's the way we're to be as brothers and sisters. You have my best interests at heart. But there's some people in my life that want to seek to do me harm. They want to seek to malign me. They don't have what's best for me in mind, or even worse, you know, they've mistreated people that I love. They've mistreated my family. I'm a lot like James and John during that time. There's some folks that if I had the power to rain down lightning, they better be careful. But I'm glad that God didn't give me that power. I'm glad that his thoughts are not my thoughts. I'm thankful he's a lot more long-suffering than I am, because I can be real long-suffering with myself but let somebody else do something. My patience grows short real quick. That's not the way it is with God. My thoughts, he says, are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways. Well, how divergent are they? Well, I'm glad you asked. In verse 9 it says, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Isn't that good to know that God's thoughts are way different than ours? You know, my thought process generally is what has led me to the bad situation that I'm in to start with. But God, his thoughts are not ours. How different they are? As far as the heavens are from the earth. Well, how far is that? It's an eternity away, isn't it? His ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. And the good news for us in the midst of the different seasons of life that inevitably bring difficulty, that inevitably bring trial, that inevitably bring tragedy, what looks broken to you is not broken to God. What feels delayed to you is not delayed to God. That's good news, isn't it? He hath made everything beautiful in his time. And notice here, here's the second principle that if our life is out of balance with God, we have a hard time dealing with. We cannot fully understand the will and the plan of God. Notice he says this, he hath made everything beautiful in his time. He says also he hath set the world in their heart. He says so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. We want explanations, don't we? God, why am I going through this? Now, this passage of Scripture isn't teaching us that God is unknowable. We, by the Spirit of God, know God. We've been given a new heart, a new nature, and we're able to discern spiritual things. The natural man, the Bible says, receives not the things of the Spirit of God, neither can he know them, for they are spiritually discerned. But as a spiritual man or a spiritual woman, in other words, someone with the Spirit of God, we can know and understand God, but we're not going to know all things and everything about God. If someone tells you, well, I have figured out God, run away. That's a person that is very arrogant. Or someone that says, well, I've discovered some new thing about God. What, does it align with God's word? A lot of times people discover new things about God that I can't find in his scriptures anywhere. That seems to be more and more in the world that we live in. He says, though, so that no man can find out the work. We want explanations. You know, we want to ask why. Why am I going through this trial? Why did I suffer this loss? Why is this stuff happening to me right now? And we don't get the answers. When we don't get the answers, we need to trust that God knows. You know, in Deuteronomy chapter 29, this is another one of those verses that speaks about the omnipotence of God. Again, he has all power. We don't. He says this in verse 29 of Deuteronomy chapter 29. He says, the secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of his law. Sometimes people will overstep with that passage there and just try to, you know, in their minds, and you're actually doing what the Scripture is warning you not to do. Some people conceive that there's just this secret agenda with God that's going on. What it's saying here is there's just some things of God that hasn't been revealed to us that we don't know, and it's because that we don't need to know. If we did need to know, he would reveal it to us. Those are the secret things that he talks about here. And there's a lot of people who get just bogged down in the what-ifs of life, asking those questions. Why is God allowing this to happen to me? Why is my loved one suffering? Why is my journey so difficult when I see other people that are, you know, going through just easy times in their lives? Basically, what he's saying here for us as God's people, in our spiritual walk with the Lord, he's essentially saying here, we need to stay in our own lane. The secret things belong unto the Lord our God. Why is God blessing this person in a different way than you are? That's not for us to get bitter about. You remember, that was what Peter did when Jesus came back after he was crucified. And Peter started pointing fingers at others and pointed finger over there at John. And Jesus says, you know, what if he tarries till I return? You know, it's not up to us to try to have all of the answers. And a lot of times we try to seek answers and stuff that detracts and distracts from what we should focus on. He says, the secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever, he says, that we may do all the words of his law. Has not God revealed enough to us that would keep us busy for 10 lifetimes if we really focused in on it? You know, I'll confess to you this morning, you know, the things that God has revealed unto me, I have not been a good steward of many of those things. We can become professional tenders of other people's business and neglect the things that God has called us to do. God has not called us to understand everything, but what he has called us to do is to trust him in everything. What a wonderful encouragement that is for us in our lives. He hath made everything beautiful in his time. He, it says, hath set the world in their heart so that no man, that, and I think that's just talking about how finite we are. He says, so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. We are called to trust him in everything. Now, I think one day we'll have all the answers, but I believe it'll be when we're in his presence forevermore. We will know the wise. We will have a perfect understanding. But not now. We, by faith, trust in God. And what we see here, we didn't read this, but just to fast forward in Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Here, Solomon, we see him, you know, with a proper perspective. When our lives are in balance with God, we see that life is really a gift that God has given us. Notice he says in verse 12, he says, I know that there is no good in them, but for a man to rejoice and to do good in his life. Now, we see you have this moment of lucidity now. As we've seen Solomon, he's gone through all of these different activities in life and has not found meaning, has not found significance. He's talking about now all of these seasons in life. Again, divorced from understanding the nature of God, they would bring frustration and just bring more questions. He said, after going through all of these seasons, he says, I know that there is no good in them, but for a man to rejoice and do good in his life. And he says this, and also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor. It is the gift of God. And I think that's a reminder. You talk about something that will adjust your attitude. And I've seen people that just in horrendous circumstances in their lives be found praising God and be thankful. Have you ever gone to someone that's just gone through some great adversity, some great tragedy, or gone through some great health issue in their own lives, and they're still praising God and trusting God? You know, when we understand that all that we have, you know, while we're here in this world, isn't going to be perfect, but the life that we have is a gift from God, that'll adjust your perspective on it. That's why I'm so thankful for Brother Gary Wayne and visiting with him in the midst of his cancer trial. Throughout all of that, he gave God the glory. And he said on more than one occasion, whatever happens, I know that God is good. And again, that's true. Whatever happens, if we lose our lives here in this world as a child of God, that's going to be ultimately good for us, isn't it? Because we're going to be in his presence forevermore, and there'll be nothing else to worry about. Solomon says it right here. He says that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of his labor. It is the gift of God. Don't allow the circumstances of your life to make you so bitter or make you so withdrawn that you forget that what you do have is a great blessing from the God above. Our culture today, our world today, is built upon wanting something that somebody else has. You notice that? That's really what keeps social media going. That keeps all media going. You know, the media, you know, the advertisements want you to be dissatisfied with whatever you have so that you'll buy their product and feel better about yourself. And all of social media, you know, there's a lot I don't like about social media, but a lot of it is people trying to paint themselves in the best of light and brag to other people about what they've had, where they've been, what clothes they wear, what house they live in, and to make other people feel less than. Well, I don't wear the clothes that they have. I've not been on the vacations they've been on. My kids are not as smart as their kids. No, we need to understand whatever we have is by the grace of God, and we should be thankful for what God has given us. Satan is the great distractor, and I think he distracts many of us as God's people by thinking that we need something bigger or better in this world. No, we need a better understanding of who our God is. It's a gift of God. You know, now Solomon, in the midst of all of this, he doesn't say fight against the seasons of life, does he? People do that. If that wasn't the case, we wouldn't have such an industry around plastic surgery. folks trying to make themselves look younger. You know, if I can just get the wrinkles stretched out, I'll feel better about myself. I'll feel younger. You know, if I just, you know, take this product that will help slow down the aging process, and I'm not dismissing health stuff. If I just eat right, if I do this or do that, you should eat right, and you should take care of this temple that God has given you. But he doesn't say here that we're to fight the seasons of life. I think some people do that. Some people want to perpetually be children. You know, they call it the Peter Pan syndrome. Man, there's some days I miss childhood. When those bills come rolling in, I remember as a kid, I didn't know what a bill was. That sounds nice, but the reality is we grow up. Some people, I wish I had the energy I had in my 20s or in my 30s again. He doesn't say fight the seasons. He doesn't say to control the seasons. What he's saying here is that we need to understand the seasons of life. And really, as we read verses 12 and 13, there's almost this instruction to me that we're to receive these seasons of life, which means that we understand these things are going to happen. And he says, in the midst of it all, there's going to be hard times, there's going to be difficulties, there's going to be trials, but we need to see the hand of God and realize what we do have is a gift from God. You know, in James chapter 1 and verse 17, James would say this, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, says, and cometh down from the Father of lights, he says, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Do you realize you got up this morning and were able to get here to this place? That's a gift from God, isn't it? Some of you that aren't here, you say, well, I wasn't able to get up and be at church physically. Well, you have the capacities and the abilities and the resources to at least tune in and listen. That's a gift from God. You woke up this morning. You opened your eyes. You had something to eat this morning. You had a cup of coffee this morning. You had a roof over your head. That's a gift. That's a blessing from God. You may be battling sickness and affliction, but you probably went to a doctor. That's a gift from God, isn't it? To be able to go to the doctor, to be able to have your needs met. You have a family that's difficult and aggravating, but you have a family. That's a blessing and a gift from God. So much of this is about contentment. And I guess you could call it contentment in God's providence. God is providing. And I'll leave you with this. The Apostle Paul understood this in Philippians chapter 4. There's so much more that we could go into here about the sovereignty of God and the providence of God. But I want you to leave you with this. Most of us are aware of Paul's circumstances as he went about preaching the gospel. He didn't fly around on jet airplanes. He didn't have a warm welcome when he preached the gospel. His ministry was wrought with trials and difficulties and persecutions, and he references those things. He was stoned and left for dead. On more than one occasion, he was beaten. He was beaten with rods. He suffered shipwreck, and on top of that, just the burden that comes with ministering to God's people. And he suffered greatly as God was leading him. He went and preached the gospel as God led him. He went to these particular places as the Spirit led him. And what awaited him? Well, there were trials and tribulations and difficulties. But what did Paul say? How did Paul sum it up? Philippians chapter 4 and verse 11, he summed it up this way. He says, not that I speak in respect of want, but he says this, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. In all seasons of life, that is the challenge for us as God's people. In the seasons of life, nothing is sugar-coated here. You know, there is no season of life that's ultimately easy. Some of us have been blessed. I think about my childhood. I was blessed with a great childhood. It wasn't a perfect childhood. There was dysfunction that happened along the way. But in the scheme of things, I had a great childhood. Some people didn't. You know, your adulthood. Some people, you know, have been just blessed. I've been blessed. There's difficulties and trials, but I've not had health issues. I've been able to provide for my family. Some of you have had difficulties and challenges there. But in whatever situation we find ourselves in, As Paul, we need to practice that, to learn to be content. Because God is on his throne. He is acting in our lives. As a church, he is acting. He knows what we stand in need of. He has been so good to us as God's people. We'll stop there, but what a wonderful encouragement we have in the midst of this book. If our lives are out of balance with God, we will miss out on that great peace, that great blessing. May we refocus ourselves as God's people on him and see that he is the giver of good gifts and he is the one that's blessed us. Let's turn to song number 296 this morning. We will use this as our closing hymn. And you will note here, I finished before 12 o'clock, so you hopefully can get to the restaurant. And if you're impatient with somebody, it's not with me. No, I say that in jest, but we serve a good God. May we be content.